knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas.
Andy.
It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, I would like to say for my bright spot, I'd like to open with a poem.
Okay.
All right. And I'd like for you to try to guess who I'm reading the work of.
Okay.
I'm the professor, and all I can tell you is, while you're still sleeping, the saints are still weeping, because things that you call dead haven't yet had the chance to be born.
Hmm. Don't know.
Isn't that heavy, though?
It is.
You know, you're sleeping, the saints are weeping.
Yep.
Because things that you call dead
right,
haven't had a chance to be born.
Is this Doctor Who?
No.
Oh.
Scatman. Because of our conversation on the last episode,
Recently gotten a tattoo?
No, I was pretty close. But
okay.
Because of our conversation on the last episode,
yeah.
I went back and I was listening to Scatman. And that's a lyric in Scatman.
Yeah.
Just his big hit.
Sure.
The part I cut out was mm-hmm. the line right before that is, I hear you all ask about the meaning of scat. Well, I'm the professor, and all I can tell you is while you're still sleeping, the saints are still weeping, because things you call dead haven't yet had the chance to be born. I'm the scat man.
Is he talking about scat?
Yeah.
Is scat something that you think is dead but hasn't really been born yet?
I don't know.
Is that what we're...
It's more philosophical than it has any business being.
I think that's to me, that's my reading of it.
Sure.
My interpretation there.
So anyway, I fell down a deep hole of watching Scatman videos.
You fell down a scat hole, if you will.
And I don't know if I had ever seen this video before.
Uh-huh.
I might have and just forgot. But even if I had, it delighted me so much. So Scatman was huge in Japan.
Right.
Right. His career really took off huge over there.
Great.
So there's a video on YouTube of a Japanese show where there's a guy doing a Scatman impression.
Oh, boy.
And he's doing like karaoke of Scatman.
Right.
And then the Scatman comes out.
Okay.
The place goes crazy. I mean, we're talking like 1998 Stone Cold Steve Austin pop. Like, they lose their shit. They're so excited to see the Scatman.
Here's what I love about that. I don't think if the Scatman walked out, I would be able to tell who it was.
Yeah, you would.
And they were all instantly like, that is the Scatman.
The hat and the mustache, you'd know.
Oh, well, there is the hat and the mustache.
And he's going, skibbity-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo.
Right, but I mean, I wouldn't know if that was for sure the Scatman. It could have been a Scatman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think at that time and place,
that was the
Scatman.
You could
be pretty sure about it. But what I was re-feeling all over again was this pure delight. Like, there is something that is so happy about seeing this. Everyone's so happy to see him when he comes out, and then he's going, skibbity-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba. And, like, I don't think that scat singing is dumb.
Sure.
And I don't think that it's not an art form and a jazzy kind of thing.
Sure.
But I also think it's very funny.
It is.
Yes.
Without question.
Yes.
Very funny. To have a little chunk like that right before and after. What's this weeding? Yeah, that's...
The saints are still weeping.
Yeah, that one's a little bit tough to just juxtapose.
Yeah, he's got some heavy fucking lyrics. And then... I love it. I've rediscovered what it was about him that I loved.
Yeah.
Just a pure delight.
What we need is for... Do you remember the Gray album? Here's what we need. We need Danger Mouse to get on it and have Scatman do Disintegration by The Cure. Match the two of those
up. I'm into it.
Now we're talking.
I also watched an interview with him where it was with MTV Europe or something.
Sure.
And he's just like clearly in a place where it's like, why the fuck am I talking to MTV? Why do they want to talk to the Scat Man?
Agreed. Yeah.
I never thought I'd be famous.
I mean, for what he did, for what he makes, that he is world famous is absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And he explained that what he does is you turn your voice into a musical instrument.
Right. No, I understand.
You're like doing a jazz solo, but with your mouth.
Yeah, no, if you stop and you go like, Weird Al is a global superstar. Mm-hmm. It does seem to confuse you just a little bit. He's great. He's great. Fantastic. Global superstar seems maybe a little bit high.
I think that there's something that's even more funny about the Scat Man.
Yeah, absolutely.
While I still must insist I'm not joking about liking him, and I think he's great and an inspiration to people like with speech impediments, and he seems like a fine human being. But it is funny. It's a funny style of music.
What you gonna do?
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is if you remember how my dry weed vaporizer busted, and then they sent me a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the company came out with a new version, all technologically advanced.
Shit,
all that kind of stuff. And as I saw that, I was like, "This is what." Like, I had this brief moment of, "This is what capitalism is about." Right? I bought a thing. It worked. Awesome. The company took care of me. Great. They come out with a new thing. I go, you know what? I'm already ahead. I like you guys. Went and bought it.
Mm-hmm.
That simple. That's like the high of capitalism.
Well, that's kind of, and as a consumer experience, it's like you're being kind of fucked, but also you're like, all right, but good enough.
No. You and I, we've got a thing going on.
Yeah. This is about as good as, we're going to get as a company.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. We're entering into a business relationship that I feel like, you know what, we're both fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. That does not happen very often anymore.
No, not really.
No. Feels very one-sided most of the time.
Unique to the weed business.
I don't know what it is, but man, this was like the first time I've been like, I'm already ahead. This is a luxury purchase. Mm-hmm. And it was great.
So what are the new features?
It's got like different heating temperatures, and the thing is on the side instead of the bottom, and it can hold more, you know, whatever. It's the same thing
different,
but better.
Heating temperature. It just sounds like wine snobbery about weed.
I mean, no, exactly. It's the same thing, but probably a little bit better.
Mm.
The point is not that the thing is so much better I had to buy it.
Yeah.
The point is they earned it.
Yeah, good for them.
Good for them.
Your bright spot has made me think of two things.
Yeah.
One is that I should just go ahead and get a Scatman tattoo. But
Agreed.
Then the second is that I should start smoking weed again just so, like, I could only talk in scat whenever I smoke. Like, so if I get high, you'll know, because I'll just be only saying...
Okay. All right. All right. I accept this. I accept this new you.
Uh-huh.
If this is the direction that you want to go down, I don't know if our professional relationship will last too much longer.
Well, I don't think I would get high before the show.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
I can't host this as Beaker.
Excellent.
But I can live as Beaker.
Okay. All right.
So today we got a little episode to go over.
All right.
And just talk about a little bit of something.
Okay.
And that is August 12th. 2025.
Sure.
As Alex's continuation of justifying the police state that Trump is unleashing.
Totally normal.
In D.C. Continues. But things take a bit of a departure on the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the day that Alex's court case, the court decides that they can liquidate InfoWars.
Right. There's another federal occupation brewing, if you will. Yeah.
But state court.
State occupation. Yeah, whatever. Whatever you like.
So there's a little bit of a pivot that happens, mm-hmm. which we'll discuss that breaking on the next episode.
Sure.
But for now, I just wanted to dwell a little bit in the space before that becomes an influence and Alex is still just responding to Trump's actions.
Right.
Yeah, in D.C. So we'll get down to this little mini-sode. But first, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, roses are red. Alex is a drunk. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And congratulations to the second annual winner of the Knowledge Fight Fantasy Football League, Sex Robots. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And give five more examples. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. Ooh. So thank you so much to Noel. If Dan pronounces Gruink correctly, you win bingo. I hope this technocrat shout out gets you higher than the hemline of some hoochie daddy shorts. I wish everyone could have a boss as cool as you. Hold fast. Summer is about as dead as the woke mind virus. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'm sure I'm wrong. Do you know how to pronounce that?
Nope. No clue.
G-R-E-W-I-N-G-K. Probably like Peter or something.
Oh, I read it, and I don't know. I was just thinking as you read that one, I was like, I wonder if I ever read the exact middle 4 or 5 words. Because if you were trying to sneak something in and you put it in the exact middle of a block of text and there's about 4 or 5 words, you probably get away with it. Because I remember that.
Don't tell people that.
No. Never mind.
Sneak all kinds of crazy shit.
I read it all very, very specifically. Yeah.
And I cold read. So we're going to start here on the 12th. And Alex has been getting a little bit of feedback about his show on the 11th, where he was very into what Trump is doing.
Pro police state.
Yeah, because people are like, hey, man, you
can't do that.
That's you're like the
that's
police
your
state
thing.
Guy.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of talk show hosts reach out to me. I've seen a lot of clips of other talk show hosts attacking me and saying Alex Jones was Mr. Anti-Police State. Alex Jones was the one always talking about the military being deployed in the future and how there was this big menace and all the films I made and books I wrote on it. And then suddenly he's supporting what ICE is doing, and he's supporting the deployment of the National Guard to D.C. and Chicago if needed. Why, he's betrayed his values. I have done no such thing.
I completely understand why Alex would say this. The alternative is accepting the criticism that he's entirely abandoned and betrayed the only thing his career was supposed to be based on, and that is a hard pill to swallow. As it stands, Alex has 3 paths in front of him, depending on how he wants to respond to Trump's very clear police state moves. The first is to say that Trump is doing all the shit he claimed the globalists were going to do and that he's the villain this story was building up to all along. Alex isn't interested in doing that, so I'm going to ignore that path for now, which leaves us with 2. That means he gets to choose between 1, accepting that his position has changed on what the police state means and explaining to the audience how it's okay for Trump to do all this stuff that was so evil for other people to do, or 2, gaslight the audience into thinking this isn't what he meant by the words police state. I've listened to thousands of hours of Alex talk, and let me make it as clear as possible. Alex has betrayed his principles, and when you reflect on that a little bit, it becomes clear that these weren't principles to begin with. They were branding elements. I know that it's easy to just say this, but in order to illustrate what I meant, I want to go back to Alex's film Police State 2000.
Right.
And see what he said then. What was the fear then, back when he was taking the time to produce a coherent message about the horrors that were to come? And what can we learn by comparing that to now?
Sure.
So I would like to transport you back in time to the beginning of Alex's documentary, Police State 2000.
Does he have to edit in? Does he have to make new, like, special edition versions where he edits in a little chunk where it's like, unless Trump does this to DC?
He should.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be fine.
He should talk to George Lucas about
retcon
that.
It. Yeah, exactly. Put a little,
So here is where we're at the beginning of that documentary. Mm.
In the next 2 hours, you will see hardcore documentation. Evidence that is irrefutable that America is turning into a nightmarish police state. Cameras on the street corners. Mass checkpoints on our major interstate highways. Warrantless searches. But worst of all, you'll see America's military being perverted, being turned into an instrument of control, not an instrument of defense.
So in that introduction, Alex presented four main things that represented the United States being put into a nightmarish police state. Cameras on street corners, checkpoints on the highway, warrantless searches, and the military being used for domestic control instead of defense.
Yeah.
Obviously, all of those things are currently happening, and Trump is accelerating them.
Wow.
DC has a network of 28,000 public and privately owned cameras that feed into a master feed at their real-time crime center, something that's under the control of the Metropolitan Police Department. It was launched last April, and now Trump has taken over the MPD and has the ability to abuse the surveillance tool, which includes drones, license plate readers, and all kinds of stuff far beyond cameras on street corners.
Wasn't this the fucking plot of The Dark Knight? What is happening?
Well, it's part of the plot of The Dark Knight. Or Batman Begins? No, which one?
Even in the movie, they're like, hey, seriously, this cannot exist. I know you think it's important now, but really, we got to burn this shit to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'm not here to say that Trump is like fully responsible for the creation of this tool or whatever, but he has now taken control of it, and you'd be a fool to think that it isn't being used.
Yeah, he's the Joker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in his documentary, Alex is saying that the feds are putting checkpoints on the highway, but I'm not sure if the highway part of that is all that important.
Mm.
Trump's feds are putting up tons of checkpoints around D.C., indiscriminately stopping vehicles and asking for identification to prove people's immigration status. There's no way for Alex to not think that this is the government viewing people as guilty until they prove themselves innocent, and it's the feds doing it. So this one, I think, is checked off the list.
So what you're saying is that if a heavily armed man forces you to stop through the threat of violence, then forces you to identify yourself again through the threat of violence, then this would somehow be a police state.
Or the threat of detention, perhaps, maybe not violence.
Yeah, sure.
Metaphorical violence.
Yeah, splitting hairs.
Yep. I don't know. It feels like it.
Mm.
So the third qualification is warrantless searches, which are happening all over the place. The definition of probable cause has been stretched past the point of its breaking point. And there's plenty of people who are being detained, seized,
generally
searched
speaking,
without warrants. It's absurd.
ICE has the, like, oh, they look non-white.
Mm-hmm.
Probable cause now. That's it.
Finally, Alex points to a perversion of the military into being a tool of control, not defense.
Mm.
The National Guard from D.C. has been called out, but troops have also been sent from six states to patrol D.C. And just the other day, people reported that many of them are carrying guns.
Great.
There's no way that the current situation doesn't qualify for Alex's definition of a nightmarish police state. At least that was the case back when he was making police state branded movies.
Right.
And so I think from this introduction, it's pretty clear that his position has changed significantly.
I can't imagine, like, what states are we talking? Like, I can't imagine being a National Guardsman from fucking Tennessee in D.C. going like, yeah, I should be here. Mm-hmm. This makes perfect sense. Right?
Well, you need to expand your mind then.
That's crazy.
You need to start thinking about the mission and the country,
oh, man,
and the flag.
That's nuts.
We haven't even gotten to the, I mean... Trump is making it so he can't burn the flag.
Has he?
Just the other day.
Really?
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
What?
Yep.
Why? What? Did we just now need to solve that?
Yeah, it was a real problem.
Okay. I understand that if this was, I guess, 1981, we would be more interested in this finally being solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex goes on to talk a little bit more. This is still from the Police State 2000 documentary.
Right. Gotcha.
I have footage, and you're going to see it, of Marines engaging in mock gun confiscations, kicking in doors, setting up concentration camps, and working with foreign troops from China, Russia, Britain, Australia.
Australia.
It's incredible, my friends, and you've got to face up to it. I've got to face up to it, and we've got to take action. But perhaps worst of all is the Delta Force, Army Special Operations from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, slamming into South Texas towns during Operation Last Dance. Buildings ablaze, power lines down, live fire exercises, the citizenry terrorized. Again, this isn't some foreign country. This is America. Psychological warfare against the population.
So Alex is talking about footage that he has of, like, military doing training exercises meant to simulate urban environments that they might be deployed to in the war on terror.
You mean like D.C.?
Yeah, sure, at this point. I think war sucks and that we shouldn't do it, but we're living in a world where if you have a military, you better make sure that that military has been trained. They better be training.
Yeah. If you're going to have a military, an untrained military, very clearly worse than at the very least a trained military.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And so the premise that of like, oh, look at these military training drills. They're so awful.
Right.
They must also contain get rid of the military.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just want them to be like
an incompetent,
from the hip.
Yeah, an incompetent military is below competent military in preferences. You know,
it's a real danger. It's, I mean, militaries are dangerous to begin with, but
totally
a wild one is.
I mean, essentially, well, in a sense, if you wanted to get rid of the military, an untrained one would probably eventually get rid of itself.
That's true. They would lose some battles.
They would lose a lot of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Alex plays games with the videos of these exercises because the folks the military gets to role play as the people being detained are often white Americans. So it looks like the troops are being taught to attack people that Alex believes should be safe from oppression.
It's like a Craigslist ad for Yeah.
Or someone who knows someone at the base or whatever.
Absolutely. You know.
It's
totally
a bending of optics. But even beyond that, his premise is that training exercises are a perversion of the military and proof of a nightmarish police state. What's going on in D.C. is not training. This is active. This is a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
He should be able to recognize the difference in severity. If training exercises are a nightmarish police state,
sure.
Where are we now?
Well, I mean, in a way, aren't we all always training?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're all attempting to get better. So this is in a way a training exercise.
Hey, you know what?
Training them that it's okay to occupy a federal.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, well,
as a fan of lifelong learning, I you've convinced me.
It's an optimistic viewpoint.
Yeah. So we have one more clip from the intro to Police State 2000.
Okay. Why are armored personnel carriers being delivered every week to small towns and big cities, not for the military, but for police? Why is the military training with our police? And what's happening? My friends, this is the battle for the Republic. The enemy is not our police, and it's not our military. It is those that would pervert and twist the sacred oath that our peace officers and military folks have sworn to uphold. That is to defend our country from enemies foreign and domestic. It's up to you. This whole criminal system, this whole undertaking that we see unfolding before our eyes is done through ignorance. It's up to you to educate the cop that lives next door to you, or to talk to your friend who's a captain or a colonel or a general or a private in the United States military. It's up to you to educate them about what's happening and refresh their memory about history. We are repeating what happened in 1933 Germany. My friends, it's up to you.
So, different vibe.
Well. Well.
Could sense a whole lot of differences. Yep.
You know, in a way, it's like, this makes me frustrated, not with Alex, but with his opening talk about how other radio hosts or whatever, you know, the whoever it is.
People are saying he betrayed his principles.
Right. He's responding to them in a kayfabe,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, I never betrayed my principles, that whole concept. Because the truth is, like, he could stop and look at all of them and go, none of us believe in any of this shit,
right, man.
None of us ever believed in any of this shit. We sell ED pills. That's who we are on the inside. We would say anything to sell those fucking boner pills, right?
Well,
I mean, you know, anything other than like, hey, let brown people live here.
Yeah. You know, selling ED pills while maintaining a social hierarchy.
Two birds with one stone.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as those two masters are served, then good.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, like the most understandable response Alex could have to like criticisms that he has betrayed his principles. Like, I have principles.
Right.
I didn't betray anything.
I made movies.
I thought this was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And then I got rich and now it's not fun.
It's not fun anymore.
It's not fun anymore.
I have to defend Trump?
Why? What am I doing?
It's crazy. He covered up the Epstein shit. I should be talking about butter.
I don't even know what I'm doing in this.
I killed Gene Hackman.
Oh, my God.
What? Anyway.
Yep.
Alex decides that his approach to this is going to be defending Trump and his actions in D.C. on the basis of there's so much crime.
Right.
Which I think is the worst angle he could take.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got every day countless videos of car chases, murders, shootings, home invasions. And sure, it's interesting stuff. If it bleeds, it leads. I don't even show it most of the time because it would just take the whole show up. You know all about it. They had a bunch of tractor trailers stolen in Los Angeles last night or night before, and huge high-speed chases and crashes, and the cops couldn't get them. I mean, I've got like 7 or 8 other videos in Texas of high-speed chases with illegal aliens yesterday. I mean, I can't even keep track of this.
Alex may have seen a ton of videos, stuff posted to Twitter, but he doesn't know what any of it is, and he can't report any of this stuff accurately.
Right.
So in L.A., there weren't a bunch of tractor trailers stolen leading to a ton of crashes that ended up in all this kind of crazy shit.
Sure.
Two guys stole a pickup truck, and then they led the police on a bit of a chase.
Okay.
They ended up driving down the wrong way on the highway, and they stopped a semi-truck by blocking traffic. So then they had a gun, so they stole the semi, which was hauling something, but no one really knew what it was.
Oh, my God.
This created a really touchy situation where it could be a huge truck full of gasoline or some kind of toxic chemical, so it had to be more or less treated like a giant possible bomb.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a borderline explosive.
So now we have a car chase with a, we don't know what's in this tank exactly.
It could be pallets of concrete, or it could be explosions. You'll never know.
It was a cylindrical tube.
Oh, that's the worst kind.
You would assume it was a liquid.
I don't want that kind of tube.
It could be explosive or it could be water.
Yeah.
You know, like it was.
Sure.
The people who were covering it from the helicopter and stuff were like, we don't know what's on there.
If I'm stealing it, listen, I'm all for the stealing of the semi. You got to do what you got to do. You're in a car chase, right? It makes sense. But even if I'm in the middle of a car chase, if I see one of the tubes, I'm like, I can't steal that one.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared to take responsibility for whatever
this could
happens.
Go
next.
Bad so fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, I
just wanted a pickup truck, man.
Like, if you assume that it's possibly like radioactive material or something, too, like, you don't want to take responsibility for that. I just was stealing a truck.
Just stealing a truck, man.
I don't want to hurt people that bad.
This all got out of hand.
Yeah. So the chase went on for a while before the carjackers pulled up under an overpass and they fled on foot. No. And then they stole another truck.
Nice.
All in all, the chase went on about an hour and a half and the police did not end up catching them,
hell
which is
yeah.
insane.
Hell yeah! Get it! Get it!
See, I think I understand what that reaction is because it's nuts that they stole this semi-truck and managed to get away.
Yeah.
But it also started with them carjacking someone.
No,
so
I understand.
It's not like...
No. This is an issue. Yeah. I understand all of this.
This is not a, they got away.
Here's the problem.
This isn't Smokey and the Bandit.
Here's the problem. Car chases really probably shouldn't happen at all. Right?
Yeah.
Like, when we get down to it, they're probably just more dangerous than being like, you know what? Your car has a tracking device. We'll catch it tomorrow.
I think studies have shown that they're not necessarily...
Right. Everybody's doing a bad job once we're into the car chase part of it. I appreciate that the pre-car chase part of it, you got to face consequences for that.
The spectacle's pretty amazing.
Pretty great.
When you fuck around and steal a semi-truck.
I mean, and when... Oh, that's America is what that is.
Yeah, and you successfully make 2 transfers between vehicles while the police are chasing you. That's
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, that's an inspiration in some ways.
So as far as I can tell, also, this is great news for you. Your heroes have not been arrested at this point.
I don't know. They should probably face something about that carjacking.
Sure.
Yeah.
And... at gunpoint stealing a semi from somebody.
Sure, but that was, again, was extenuating circumstances.
And the third car.
This third car is, you might as well steal the third car.
Sure, might as well. It's all nuts. This is all crazy stuff, but I don't know if this justifies martial law or calling out the National Guard. Like, this is, yeah, sure, that's a spectacle. That's a huge, crazy car chase thing in L.A.
Yeah.
But I don't think you need the National Guard because of this.
Well, even, so even... Even if you want to say that the level of danger is great enough to warrant a like greater response, I don't think anything the National Guard is good at would not ultimately wind up with an exploding semi-truck, right?
Sure, sure.
Like, that's what they're good at, and they're great at it.
But also, like, the circumstances of this were not like they set out to steal that semi.
Totally.
It happened because it was right there when they were fleeing in the truck that they stole
right.
that maybe was running out of gas
right.
or something.
Right.
It the danger of someone stealing a semi is exactly the same as it was every other day before that yep. and after.
Yeah.
This was a freak set of circumstances that ended up in this. And I don't think any greater law enforcement would be able to stop you from...
Yeah.
being in that moment.
It's just an upgrade in weaponry, right? Like the and a lack of useful training, like in terms of being able to stop any sort of violent crime within a city that's like a thing that's happening. What training does the National Guard have that they could like rely on to help solve these problems?
Cognitive therapy. They chat with people.
I mean, well, you know, I'm glad our National Guard is learning multiple skills.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's strange to me that this is the angle that Alex is taking.
Yeah,
it's like, well, look at this, the crime. We have to do this.
Okay, how about this? What amount of the population has to be actively engaged in a criminal act to justify the National Guard being called in? Like, is it if 30% of DC was committing a crime against another 30% of DC, would that be like, hey, listen, we need to call the National Guard in for this?
Well, I don't know if that number is meaningful, because you could just change the definition of who is committing a crime in order to get to that 30 if you want.
Okay, that's fair.
So, like, I don't know if ever creating a hard and fast line is meaningful.
Sure.
Because you could just cheat a different variable.
All right, so everybody's doing straight-up murders.
Okay.
How many straight-up murders are we talking before it's like, we got to call the National Guard in?
It feels like if you get to a point where you need to...
There's no National Guard left. They've all been murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to say this is a self-solving problem.
It feels like that's where we're going, though. I think if we reach the point, I think essentially that you've kind of hit the nail on the head. If we reach the point where it makes sense to call the National Guard in for crime, we've already reached too far of a point for it to matter that you're calling in the National Guard about crime.
The implications of how everything will be are going to be like, oh, I think if you reach the point where you need to call in the National Guard, the National Guard showing up is not something you'd notice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because, you're too busy being murdered.
Right, right. So, look, there's good martial law, maybe.
Is there?
Maybe there's a good police state.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
They have started the crisis. They have started the problem. This is not Trump with troops running checkpoints because you can't go outside your houses during a viral release like the Democrats did and globalists all over the world. This isn't, no. This is Trump saying, okay, we'll put FBI agents on the streets. We'll put National Guard on the streets in the high crime areas just so the criminals know that there's a new sheriff in town and you just can't run around robbing and stealing and killing. And I mean, you understand, in Illinois, in California, in Washington, in Oregon, and a bunch of the places, in New York, in D.C., they've closed most of the Walgreens, most of the CVSs, most of the Walmarts, most of the Targets in these cities have closed.
Drone striking.
These people just come in and just start robbing, you've seen it, everything off the shelves because the DAs won't prosecute them. They pass laws in states where you're only allowed to steal $3,000 a day in one state, another state. You can steal $5,000 per store.
That's nice. That's a good deal.
And then the sport of shoving white people in front of subway trains.
Interesting.
And the knockout game. 15-1 black on white crime conservatively.
Remarkable.
Ooh, I think we know why that the National Guard should be called in.
I think we know what he's thinking.
I think that one's clear.
So the premise of Alex's career is that there's no such thing as good martial law. There's no benevolent police state. They will justify their existence by pointing to exaggerations of crime, but they don't exist to solve those issues. They exist to consolidate power. His whole career was based on the idea that the globalists are trying to exaggerate the level of danger that the militia and extreme right-wing movements presented as a domestic terror threat, because if they could justify cracking down on those groups, they could use that as a means of expanding their power. These groups would be labeled terrorists, so you would have, you know, you'd be fine with them having their guns taken away. And just like that, no one really has a Second Amendment anymore.
Uh-oh.
But they would never come out and say that they just wanted to get rid of the Second Amendment. It would always be sold to you as an extension of what they need to do in order to solve the huge crime problem that the militia people represent. I don't agree with Alex, and I think that the militia and right-wing people were and still are a legitimate danger to public safety, but if you just stipulate that he's right and go with this premise, it helps you clearly see how he's shifted his role in the media space. Previously, he was working to minimize the fear and sense of danger around these extreme right-wing groups, and his ostensible reason for doing so was that if that fear was low, the globalists couldn't use it to justify launching their police state. They needed you to be scared, because a scared population is more controllable. But if you could wake up and see that you didn't need to be scared of these militia people, you'd realize that the globalists were playing you. They weren't escalating police state stuff in order to protect you from a severe threat. They were exaggerating a minor threat in order to convince you that you needed their tyranny to protect yourself from it. Now, Alex's positioning is basically reversed. The Trump administration is actively involved in exaggerating the threat of local crime and using that exaggerated threat to justify an expansion of their police state actions. If Alex were the same person that he was in the mid-2000s, then you would expect that his position would be that, yeah, there's a lot of crime, but that doesn't justify federal troops on the streets. Even if some of Trump's actions could be defended as technically legal, Alex would understand that they're basic violations of the spirit of what he stands for. But instead, we see Alex working to amp up and further exaggerate the fear around Trump's rationale for seizing power. This fact tells us something important, which is that in the past, Alex was not being honest about why he was minimizing the danger that white supremacists and militias presented. He acted like the fear was being exaggerated by the globalists in order to use it as an excuse to take over, but the truth is he just likes white supremacists and militias. No matter how much violence or domestic terror they might carry out, he would be minimizing it and arguing that no federal law enforcement response would be appropriate. On the flip side of the coin, Alex views local crime in urban areas as being something that's mostly being done by black people, so police state actions being carried out against these populations doesn't bother him. He's not part of that group, he doesn't feel like it's going to affect him, so he doesn't care.
Yep.
The whole premise of his career hinges on a police state affects all of us.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it's being done, it affects all of us.
Yep.
And that's just not true. He does not believe that.
Yeah.
That is rhetoric that he has deployed.
Yeah.
When shit's targeting groups that he doesn't feel like he's a part of, or he feels safe from the tyrannical power,
yeah,
he's all in favor of it.
Yeah. You know, the thought occurs to me. In the abstract, I understand that the phrase technically legal can be neutral,
mm-hmm.
right? In practicality, though, I have never heard technically legal used in any way other than these people are screwing you over and it's technically okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
yeah, legal technicalities are often, they're rarely the underdog story of someone getting away with something that is fine and benevolent.
Yeah.
It's usually like,
oh, we wrote this into the law to fuck you, mm-hmm. and because you're not allowed to
you should be able to stop this, but you can't.
You can't. Is that crazy?
Yeah. So I find his position a bore, honestly. I think that this is anybody who has engagement with Alex's career, anybody who has enough experience with what he believes, what he's put out, seen his early work, believes words mean things.
Yep.
Anybody who has that, this is just self defeating.
Yeah.
It's it is boring.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, and the real world is scary,
yeah.
and all that does mean something, yep. and I don't want to minimize that.
Sure.
But Alex's response in this case is fucking boring.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tired, racist old man just being worthless.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, when you think of the banality of evil, you tend to assume a kind of low-key personality associated with it. But you can also be incredibly loud and banal.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you get.
Well, you know, I think that this is also indicative of like his personality has gotten way less flamboyant
yeah.
as he's gotten further and further away from what made him interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this question. All right. Write the episode of Law and Order with the National Guard in it in a helping way. Right. Because
I got you.
Oh, yeah?
Well, does it have to be Special Victims Unit?
It doesn't have to be special. Any episode of Law & Order with the National Guard
okay.
in it.
Okay, well, it would have to be like in the aftermath of like a natural disaster.
Okay.
Helping respond to a natural disaster.
In an episode of Law & Order?
Sure. I could see an episode of Criminal Intent. Like maybe someone's committing a crime while a hurricane's happening. Have
okay.
you seen the movie Hurricane
sure.
Heist?
Okay, that's fine. But then what's the part in order? So the National Guard has to be involved in both law and order. Right? So you got the National Guard in law. They're helping people do the whole thing. Now they're in the courtroom. What does the National Guard do there?
Well, I don't think... Not every episode involves the order.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's,
right.
It is just a title.
Yes, I'm thinking of flagship Law and Order. For me, the Law and Order structure is we spend the first 20 minutes with those two detectives running around asking people what's going on while they move stuff from one thing to another thing.
Yeah.
And then the next 20 minutes is the other guys in court going like, ah, and then a dramatic thing happens
sure.
and then it resolves.
Yeah, I don't think, I think that as the show went on, there was less... like those two elements and they split off more.
Okay.
Granted the DA would certainly still yell at the cops
sure.
and stuff and like, what am I going to take to the courtroom?
Yeah, of course.
You know, there's definitely that.
This isn't enough or this is the wrong kind. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
That character exists.
Yeah.
But they went to like Law and Order trial by jury.
What?
That was more of the courtroom setting kind
trial
of stuff.
Trial by okay.
Yeah, that was their spinoff one.
Wild.
Whereas, like, you know, Special Victims Unit, Criminal Intent, those were more like Crime of the Week.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Yeah. How about that?
The Law and Order franchise, I get where you're coming from. They did drop the order a little bit from it. But
I was just a man who watched the first 10 seasons of Law and Order pretty consistently, and then now I've just dipped back in and out, and I guess that was 40 years ago.
Let me flip the question back on you.
Yeah.
Where would you expect the National Guard to be in the courtroom?
See, this is the thing. What I see in my head is the National Guard is with the cops, and they're going to question somebody, and then the cops are like, knock on the door, and the National Guard kicks the door in and grabs the people and pulls them out, and the cops are like, that's unconstitutional, and then we go to the order part, and the judge is like, that was unconstitutional. I'm not allowing it. And then the National Guard is like, actually, you are. And then the judge cries, and then the episode is over, and they won. Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
They are allowed to do whatever they want.
It's a bad episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't, I'm not sure.
Mm.
Let me call Dick Wolf.
Dick Wolf, get on it. Bum, bum.
So I think that one of the things, like, I'm fine with just, my thesis is this is a bore.
Yeah.
This is... the left creating chaos, creating their own form of martial law, which means the normal law is not being followed. You can have a grassroots Soros-funded chaos martial law, or you can have one from the top where the regular laws and rights are suspended. Trump's not suspending anybody's rights. And everything he's done with ICE and everything he's doing with the National Guard is 100% constitutional. And quite frankly, if you actually study it, he's ramping up as fast as he can, but most people that are informed are pissed that there's not more. They want civil war conditions in this country. Now stores all over Europe, all over the U.S., all over Canada are putting locks on even TV dinner stuff. It's not the cologne and expensive things that are locked up. It's everything. So they've created the climate of collapse. They know exactly what they're doing, and Trump is bringing back law and order as best he can.
So this is just a childish position where no matter what happens, it's the left's fault. If Obama creates a Muslim caliphate out of the United States, then it's the top-down, left, tyrannical plan.
Obviously.
If Trump takes over D.C. with federal troops, it was just to stop the left's grassroots tyrannical plans.
Oh, we're crazy.
This is boring.
Yeah.
This is just, it's, so there's an interesting contrast,
yeah.
I think, in that supporting Trump doing this is invalidating Alex's career.
For sure.
Also, supporting Trump covering up the Epstein thing would be invalidating of his career.
Absolutely.
He has so much less of a problem with this than he did.
That is a really good point.
Yeah.
That is a really good point.
And I think part of the reason is because he wasn't mad about Trump doing anything with Epstein or anything. Right. He just wanted him to shut up.
Yeah, they handled the looks wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The optics were bad.
He was super mad about, like, I can't work with this. You're not playing your role correctly.
Right.
He has no problem here, really.
Right.
Because Trump's doing exactly what he should be doing.
Yeah.
Showing force.
Yeah.
Being super strong.
I mean, it's...
Trampling on people.
It's annoying because I feel like if you really just got to him, he'd be like, you know, D.C.'s like the blackest city in America. So, yeah, of course I'm fine with him putting troops in there.
If Alex could be on some kind of truth drug or something like that, I imagine that's what he would...
I'll burn down Atlanta. I knew it! Mm-hmm. I caught you, you mother...
Yeah. Mm. I don't think that... At core, it's that much more complicated.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to see... Okay. In the past, we could kind of just... figure that out, context clues, you know, you can generally sense this. This is an actual follow-through of the very core concept. Like, yeah, yeah, the core concept has been violated.
Yeah.
You have to see that he doesn't believe any of this shit.
He can't, and he didn't before.
Yeah.
Or if he did before, then he needs to explain what changed.
Yeah.
Like, I would accept an explanation for what changed, why... this is okay. And one explanation that I'm not going to accept is crime is out of control.
That one's not okay.
Because that's something that he would have made fun of earlier in his career.
Right.
Some politician saying that crime is out of control. Are you fucking kidding?
Yeah. Of course. Of course.
So if you need more evidence that this has racial tinges to it.
Oh, yeah.
It is the globalists that said they would destabilize society and collapse it and cause a civil war. Trump is trying to stop it.
Mm.
With a show of force. And it's a Band-Aid on a bigger problem. We need the Soros DAs removed. A bunch of them committed crimes. We need them indicted. Some of that's happening. We have to take politically out, legally and lawfully, the leadership of this system. So here's Trump with a short analogy, which is totally true. If you walk in a restaurant and the front door's dirty and the floor's dirty, well, you know the kitchen's dirty and there's cockroaches walking around. And everybody's like, that's simple. Well, if a city has feces and needles and crime...
We doing broken windows again?
You know you're not in a safe society. And that's been done by design to undermine and demoralize us. That's what all of this is about. They admit it. And taking a knee during the national anthem, all of it is to break your will. And Trump is coming and saying, no, our will is not broken. Our will is strong.
So I feel like Alex should be much more worried about a leader sending in National Guard troops as a show of force.
Hmm.
But I guess he's really scared about crime in cities he doesn't live in. And you can tell how much of this really is just a racism thing and how it comes back to Alex's feelings of white victimhood, because he brings up taking a knee at football games as something that's breaking society's will.
Yep.
Colin Kaepernick was doing that in 2016. That's almost a decade ago.
Wow.
This isn't a subject that's been relevant in a long time, and Alex isn't even supposed to care about football.
Oh, my God.
His mind can come up with that because he has strong feelings about feeling slighted by this.
Yep.
Because he's fundamentally racist.
Yeah. Man.
Mm.
How can you be so racist that a guy taking a kneel on a totally voluntarily missable thing
to make a statement about police brutality
justifies the military showing up?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
Now, I know I made multiple documentaries about fears about the police state,
right?
But 10 years ago,
one guy took a knee because a lot of black people are getting murdered by the cops.
And then some other people started taking a knee as well.
Right.
And I was
worried that
it would pick up steam.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
That's pathetic. So anyway, I don't really care about the rest of this episode. I just think that there's a fundamental complaint that Alex makes, and that is that, hey, everyone's saying that I betrayed my principles.
Yeah.
If you examine his principles, it would appear that way.
Right.
But the explanation is kind of simpler, and that is that there weren't principles to begin with. Holding him to, like, being the guy who would be against an actual martial law kind of situation is foolish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you are arguing with an illusion. You're no longer capable of arguing with a person who exists. Like, if you are saying, oh, I didn't betray my principles, then you are creating an illusion. There's no point in even discussing this, you know?
Yeah, and that's, I think that that's part of the reason why it's more interesting and I think more worthy of examination, the time when he's dealing with the Epstein fallout and all that stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to this. This is kind of on its face, just a, like...
Oh, I'm a racist, yeah. I would like civil war conditions in a very different sense.
Yeah, I would like Trump to do a show of force using National Guard troops because there's too much crime. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's shocking in a sense. And I think that as time goes on, he'll definitely have to bend over in a pretzel and, you know, contort himself to justify the various things that happen.
Yeah.
But you can see how much simpler it is.
Yeah. If you it's almost like that Atwater quote in a sense of like, well, you know, you can say you want separate water fountains or you can say that the National Guard should be in D.C. It's up to you what you want to say, but they mean the fucking same thing, you know?
Yeah, at the end of the day.
Yep.
So we'll be back to see what happens when Alex's business gets liquidated. but for now, this is his heart and soul.
Bared for all to see.
Empty, self-contradictory, and boring.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll be back. Until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.